and answer them. "How far into the future can you see, Mrs. Cake?" She nodded. "Right, then," she said, apparently mollified, and led the way through the hall into a tiny sitting room. "And the bogey can come in, only he's got to leave his door outside and go into the cellar. I don't hold with bogeys wandering around the ass."
"Gosh, it's ages since I've been in a proper cellar," said Schleppel.
"It's got spiders in it," said Mrs. Cake.
"Wow."
"And you'd like a cup of tea," said Mrs. Cake, to Windle. Someone else might have said, "I expect you'd like a cup of tea," or, "Do you want a cup of tea?" But this was a statement.
"Yes, please," said Windle. "I'd love a cup of tea."
"You shouldn't," said Mrs. Cake. "That stuff rots your teeth." Windle worked this one out.
"Two sugars, please," he said.
"It's all right."
"This is a nice place you have here, Mrs. Cake," said Windle, his mind racing.
Mrs. Cake's habit of answering questions while they were still forming in your mind taxed the most active brain.
"He's been dead for 10 years, she said.
Said Windle, but the question was already there in his larynx. "I trust Mr. Cake is in good health?"
"It's okay. I speaks to him occasional," said Mrs. Cake.
"I'm sorry to hear that," said Windle.
"All right, if it makes you feel any better."
Mrs. Cake, I'm finding it a little confusing. Could you switch off your precognition?"
She nodded.
"Sorry, I gets into the habit of leaving it on," she said, "what with there only being me and Ludmilla and one man Bucket.
He's a ghost," she added. "I knew you was going to ask that."
"Yes, I had heard that mediums have native spirit guides," said Windle.
"Him? He's not a guide, he's a sort of odd job ghost," said Mrs. Cake. "I don't hold with all that stuff with cards and trumpets and ooh-jar boards, mind you. And I think ectoplasm's disgusting. I won't have it in the house, I won't. You can't get it out of the carpets, you know, not even with vinegar."
"My word," said Windle Poons.
"Or wailing, I don't hold with it. Or messing around with the supernatural. It's unnatural, the supernatural. I won't have it."
Said Windle cautiously. "There are those who might think that being a medium is just a bit, well, you know, supernatural."
"What? What? Nothing supernatural about dead people. Load of nonsense. Everyone dies sooner or later."
"I do hope so, Mrs. Cake."
"So what is it you'd be wanting, Mr. Poons? I'm not precognitin', so you'll have to tell me."
"I want to know what's happening, Mrs. Cake."
There was a muted thump from under their feet and the faint, happy sound of Schleppel.
"Oh, wow! Rats, too!"
"I went up and tried to tell you, wizards," said Mrs. Cake primly. "And no one listened. I knew they weren't going to, but I had to try, otherwise I wouldn't have known."
Who did you speak to?"
"The big one with the red dress and a moustache like he's trying to swallow a cat."
"Ah, the Arch-Chancellor," said Windle positively.
"And there was a huge fat one, walks like a duck."
"He does, doesn't he? That was the Dean," said Windle.
"They call me their good woman," said Mrs. Cake. "They told me to be about my business. I don't see why I should go around helping wizards who call me a good woman when I was only trying to help."
"I'm afraid wizards don't often listen," said Windle. "I never listened for 130 years.
"Why not?"
"In case I heard what rubbish I was saying, I expect. What's happening, Mrs. Cake? You can tell me. I may be a wizard, but I'm a dead one."
"Well, Schleppel told me it was all due to life force."
"It's building up, see?"
"What does that mean?"
"There's more of it than there should be. You get," she waved her hands vaguely, "when things are like in scales, only not the same on both sides."
Imbalance.
Mrs. Cake, who looked as though she was reading a distant script, nodded.
"One of them things, yeah, see? Sometimes it just happens a little bit and you get ghosts, because the life is not in the body anymore, but it hasn't gone, and you get less of it in the winter, because it sort of drains away, and it comes back in the spring, and some things concentrate it."
Modo, the university gardener, hummed a little tune as he wheeled the strange trolley into his private